That's awesome. We're going to the Atlanta Braves game after this for Father's Day. So I now have something to wear. You know, we're good. Look for the Radiant t-shirt. So it's great to see y'all this morning. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll get started there in just a moment. We'll be in verse 22. But I just want to start with just something I've been hearing a lot. I do have a heart for men, and we'll talk more about that in a second, a little bit of my testimony. But there's this term that's going around in modern society, and you've probably heard it. Oh, that's just men being what? Men. As if we're making this excuse for men every time they run around on their wives or don't take responsibility or even a new thing, sit in their parents' or grandparents' basement until they're 30 years old, right? Like, this is kind of the new culture, right? But shouldn't being a man have a great connotation? Men, right? Like, isn't that why we watch Marvel movies and all these things? Because we want to be more. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you are more. And you find that more in Christ. And being that more is the difference and will be the difference maker in our society today. Amen? Like, it's never been a greater need, from unhirable men to adolescent pregnancy to men being fathers and not just being physically there, but mentally and spiritually and emotionally. Like, men, our society needs you. Amen? We need our men to step up. I've seen over the years, and I even saw it in our hotel that we stayed in this morning. I went to do my quiet time, and I was having breakfast, and there was this guy that came out, and he had a lap dog. Is everybody with me? Anybody got a lap dog in here? Y'all with me? Okay, I want to know who I'm offending right now, so just raise your hand. I want to know where we're at. So when you check me out, tune me out, I know, I get it. But it's amazing, we have this new society, and we have these dogs, and they become our children. And we get them manicures and pedicures, and even have those little bags. Does everybody know the bag, right? Like, you can take that bag anywhere. I've noticed, like, you can't get in with your kids in certain places, but you can take your bag with your dog, right? And so we take them in, and they go everywhere with us, and we love them, and we pamper them. But every once in a while, when you're on a vacation or something, you have to stop, and that dog has to get out of the car, and you have to take him to that little space to use the bathroom. Y'all with me? And you take him out there, and he's sniffing around to use the bathroom, and you're waiting, and then he sees it. Y'all with me? He sees that little pile of mud. And he goes over there, and he starts sniffing it, and you're like, no, Fifi, don't do that. He goes down, and he rolls around, and he just soaks up that mud, right? Why? Because as much as we want to manicure him and primp him and do all these things, dogs were what, guys? They were made to be dogs. Y'all with me this morning? This is what they do. It's who they are. And men, I'm telling you this morning, you will be most happy when you are who God has created you to be. Not the stereotypes in society, not even some things that we put on men in our churches that aren't necessarily biblical, but who God created you to be. Emil Brunner said it this way, our sexuality penetrates the deepest metaphysical ground of our personality. What that means is simply this: men, you were created to be men. You were created to be who God's made you to be, and you may not understand what that means this morning. We'll get into my testimony in a second, but at the heart of what it truly means to be a man biblically is this benevolence to lead, provide, and protect in ways that are appropriate to relationships. There's threefold stuff there, and it's found in our passage. Turn with me in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. Do you guys need me to switch to a handhold? I can. You want me to do that? Let me do that. I'm going to turn this off, and I'm going to switch to this handheld. Got it?
All right, we good?
Testing one. All right, there we go. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, so that he might be present. He might, present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it guides us and leads us. And I pray especially, Lord, how you lead us and guide us, Lord. There's many of us in this room. We don't know what it means to be so many things, especially fathers. So, Lord, we pray that we would look to our Heavenly Father and that you would guide us. I pray personally the words of my lips and meditations of my heart be pleasing your sight, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you all this morning. There's a lot here, but let's just start right off the top with men are to be number one leaders. At the heart of what it truly means to be a man is a sense of responsibility to lead. Like, men, you were made to lead in your houses and in the church, and when you're not doing that, something's going to feel out of place. Look there with me, for the husband is the head. Let me start, because this could very easily be taken in the wrong way, and we've done it in churches and as Christians so many wrong ways. Let me therefore start with putting some parameters up of what this doesn't mean biblically. It doesn't mean, men, that you know everything or make every decision. Women, can I get an amen up in here? My wife is like, yeah, that's right. Women are really, really smart. Amen, men, right? My wife has this sensitivity and awareness that I don't. It's not a weakness for me or for you to lean on your wife's wisdom. Amen? That's not weakness, men. That's just good stuff. That's just wise. But it does mean this, gentlemen. You're to set the values for your family. You're to set the spiritual tone. If you're not happy with the spiritual tone in your household right now, I promise you it starts with you. You will set the tone, and you will be held accountable for that tone. It does not mean that you make every decision, but you are supposed to lead spiritually by setting the tone for your family. Gentlemen, I know this, and I know it very clearly. Every time Sunday morning comes, y'all know what I'm talking about. There's always someone in my 4,000 kids that doesn't want to go to church, okay? You saw them. They're half of them were up here. We got four kids, and they're great. We got another one on the way. Amen? But I've made the decision as a dad, as for me and my house, we will what? We'll follow the Lord. And so that's going to mean until they're 18, we're going to church, okay? And that is all the difference maker in the world. When I just make that decision, like, man, I'm going to lead by just saying, listen, I can't do everything for you. I don't have all the answers, but we're going to go to church. I want you to hear God's word. I want you to hear how the Lord loves you. I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear this clearly. Like, I go to church, Tucker or Wren or Millie or Skylar, I go to church not because I'm forced to. I go to church because the Lord has done great things for me. He saved me in a powerful way from someone who is not following him and had no direction to someone that has come to know what he's done for me on the cross and forgiven me, and he's a gracious, loving father, and I go to church to worship that God. Amen? It's not a chore for me to go to church. I want to go to church, and I want you to want to go to church too. Until your heart gets the right place, this is what the Bible says, though. Until your heart gets the right place there, the law will be in place. Amen? You're going to church. Doesn't mean you know everything, but you will set the spiritual tone for your household. Number two, it does not mean that you're supposed to be a dictator or cower. Here's what happens. This is what happens when we're walking in the flesh. We usually fall into one or two ditches, right? Either men become dictators and it's my way or the highway, or we become cowards where we avoid or abdicate and just passively let someone else lead spiritually in our families because, you know what? It's hard sometimes. Can we just have an honest conversation in here? It's hard to spiritually lead anything. But men, you won't be satisfied until you step up. It does not mean falling into the dictator or the cower. It doesn't mean that she's unequal. This is the amazing thing about Scripture. It started early on in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. It says that we are made in the image of God. Amen? Male and female, He created them, that we are supposed to give God glory, both of us. We are perfectly equal with each other. But men, what it does mean is that God has revealed Himself in some special ways. Number one, in His Bible and through Jesus Christ. And before that, in the Old Testament, He'd always reveal Himself in these things called theophanies. And it's these ways that He would share about who He is in ways that we could understand as people, right? And you know what the number one theophany in Old Testament was? God as Father. And so He wants to share with us this morning who He is. And then, men, we have the privilege of following Him and sharing with our families who He is with how we father. Amen? It's an amazing thing. And you do that by leading like He led. We have this special ability to do this. And you say, well, Terry, I don't know how to lead. I've never done that. I don't know what it looks like. Back in 1969, the NBA was trying to identify amongst its competitors. It's trying to say, hey, this is who we are. The league wasn't doing well. This was before Bird and Magic. Y'all know Bird and Magic saved the league. Amen? And you also know who the GOAT is. Does everybody know who the GOAT is? Michael Jordan. It is not LeBron James, just so we're all on the same page. Amen? Y'all, if that's the best I get today is on that, come on. I got a little daughter who argues with me that it's LeBron James. It's not LeBron James. It's before all that. The league was struggling, and they were trying to set themselves aside. And so this man named Glenn Siegel, he saw this picture, this silhouette of Jerry West. It was this dynamic picture of him. It was what he believed was the essence of what the game's all about, that one man's silhouette represented the entire league. And when you see it, you see basketball. It's the image of one man pointing to something beyond himself. Gentlemen, you are image bearers. You are silhouettes. But you ain't Jesus. Amen? You're not the Lord. Like, can we just take the pressure off a little bit this morning? Amen? Like, we're not the Lord. You don't have to have this whole thing figured out and being dads. I'm going to tell you right now, my testimony a little bit. You heard what happened after I came to the Lord, but I grew up in a home where my dad was out of the picture when I was 1 year old. I've grown up in a situation where I don't know what it's like to be a good father, amen, because I didn't have that set before me. And some of you are in the same situation. You've not had good fathers, ladies and men. Or men, you've grown up and not known what a good father is because you've not had that set before you. And I'm here to tell you, you have a good father in heaven that wants to help you with this. Like, I came to know the Lord and I started really following Him in college. I started reading Scripture, and He just wants to help you. As you spend time with Him, He just wants to guide you in every situation, and this is what I found. It does not get easier. Can I get an amen? Like, whoever told you this Christian life gets easier, good night, run away from that church or that preacher. Like marriage, it got harder to follow Jesus. Parenting, even harder. And I don't mean harder in a sense that like following him was harder. I meant like there was more decisions to be made. Is everybody with me this morning? And the decisions are just getting harder and harder and harder in this world. And our kids are dealing with stuff that we've never dealt with before, right? My family and our friend's family, we had a decision last night. And we're like, man, that's a hard situation. And y'all want to know what I do in those situations? I go to the Lord in his word and the Holy Spirit and just say, Lord, what would you do in this situation? Can I get an amen? What would you do in this situation? And then I just try to do it. Like, that's what it means to follow Christ. That's what it means to be a good dad and good father. That's what it means to be a good church leader, all those things. Like, I don't know everything. I didn't have it set before me. I know very little, right? But I can follow Jesus and just do what he did. And gentlemen, that will make all the difference in your lives. Ladies, that will make all the difference in your lives. Like, my wife's here, so we got to be honest. When I mess up, it's not because of Jesus. It's not his fault. Amen? It's when I don't do that. You're not the logo. Jesus is the logo. You don't have to have it figured all figured out. God holds the trademark on manhood. Colossians 1:15 says the Son is the Son, largesse. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the new Adam. We are his brothers and sisters who just simply follow him. Husbands, love your wives just as what? Christ loved the church. You don't know how to love your wife? You don't know how to lead your kids? Follow Jesus. He was a pretty good darn father. Amen. We're to lead as God does, as Jesus did. And men, you are supposed to lead. But this is what I find with Jesus. You know how he loved the church? He wasn't a dictator, and he didn't cower. He served and laid his life down. Let me be very clear scripturally, and for a culture that needs this and families that need this more than ever, men, you are to be the leader in your household, but you are not to lead by dictating or by cowering. You've been given leadership so you can lay your life down for your wife and your kids. You're to serve them. You're to help them with what they need. You're to be the guy that goes to sleep at night tired. That's how you lead. There's one more part to this. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That when you lead like that, then you'll be able to do what? Washer with the word, the water of the word. Man, any men in here wish your wife had listened to you? Yeah, it's got real uncomfortable up in here. You're like, do I say it? She's right next to me, Terry. I don't say that in church. Here's the deal. Y'all, this was not erotic, okay? There's no sexualness to this in verse 26. They would walk around in sandals or different things at that time, different roads, rocks. Your feet would get cut up. You'd have all kinds of sores. So a woman would have to trust her husband to attend to her in the most sensitive way, in the most sensitive part of her body and her feet. Like Jesus chose the feet here. Because he's trying to say, listen, if she's going to let you wash her feet, it's because she really trusts you. Right? Like, we're all going to have to communicate at leaders in different positions, challenging words from God at times, as spiritual leaders. But it's only going to be effective, husbands and fathers, if you've already set aside your own interest, your own desires, and made it clear that you care more about following the Lord and serving them than serving yourselves. Like, here's the deal. If we struggle to lead our family, we need to ask, have we laid our lives down for our wives and our kids? And I'm going to challenge you ladies in here. If you have a man that's not doing that, encourage him to do that. And I don't mean encourage by like, hey, I want you to lead me, but this is how exactly I want you to lead me. I actually made you a list of 10 different things and the exact ways you need to do it. Encourage him. Hey, I loved it when you stepped up in that way, right? Women, we're really easy as men. We want to replicate what you celebrate. Amen. Like when you're nice to us and say you did a really good job at that, we want to do it again because we're like puppies. You women already know that. Men, am I right? Let's be honest, right? Man, I love the way you took our family to church. Hey, we're going next Sunday. Let's roll. She's nice. And ladies, if you have a man that does that, be willing to follow him. And being willing to wish him a happy Father's Day today and mean it. Amen? Like, we don't need much. Like, it's so funny in these sermons, right? Like, Mother's Day. Y'all, Mother's Day in a church. Like, I'm going to give you 400 flowers and talk about how great moms are, right? Father's Day. Hey, I got a sermon for you to tell you how to be better, right? All we need many times from our families is, hey, I see what you're doing and I appreciate it. I don't need a steak. I don't need Buffalo Wild Wings, although hopefully that comes later. That's all we need. Men lead. Families encourage. Number two, we're to be providers. At the heart of what it truly means to be a man is the sense of benevolent responsibility to provide. Go with me. Verse 29 again. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, right? Again, it's this natural desire, like, I'm not going to be at peace unless I'm providing for my family. Like, they need something, like, truly need something. I'm not talking about wants, ladies and kids. I'm not talking about, like, all the stuff we want. I'm talking about when I need something, he wants to step up and provide. And men, you're going to want to do that. This doesn't mean that women shouldn't assist, shouldn't have jobs. Like, that's ridiculous. That's not what this means. It's just this natural burden's on us, men, and we're going to be feeling like men who we were created to be when we're providing for our families. It's within you. It's this desire, and you're not going to be at peace without it. But I want to hit on something, because I'm assuming many of you in here are good financial providers for your families. This doesn't just encompass finances, but also emotions, in all things otherwise. Like, when we're going to follow the great provider, we look at Jesus in his life and we see at times where he's super tired. Where his disciples were turning kids away, but he said, no, let what? The little children come to me. Where he was tired from healing people all day and he let them just keep bringing people to him. We see this compassion where he fed the 4,000 and 5,000 and on and on and on. So, men, I challenge you to follow the Lord in this. That don't just financially provide for your kids, but follow the Lord and let him overflow in his spirit in you, and that when you come home from work, because I know it's difficult, right? I know I'm tired with you, but get in the floor with your kids. Or go do things that they want to do, or your grandkids. Because the older I get, I'm now 46. And I used to look at it in my flesh, I'm like, man, gosh, I'm so tired from this weekend. I'm coming home and Tucker wants to play baseball and I just don't want to go out there. I just want to sit here. But lately, the Lord's been working on my heart. What a privilege it is that my son wants to play catch with me. Amen. Like, that's the shift when you have a relationship with Jesus. It's not this duty or responsibility. It's this like love relationship between me and the Father that I get to share with my son or my daughters, right? If you have a hard time with this, go to Jesus. He'll make you the provider you never knew possible. And I'm not just talking about financial, guys. And finally, number three, men, we're supposed to be protectors. Like in a world that's unclear about what men are supposed to be, leaders, providers, protectors, at the heart of what it truly means to be a man is this responsibility to protect in ways that are appropriate. Look at verse 31. Therefore, a man shall what? Leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There's this natural desire to protect. We know from the Old Testament that this covenant between a man and a wife, this original picture of marriage here in verse 31, that this is covenant, that he's the protector and that the kids fall under it as well. And so there's this natural desire that when our kids or our wives are out in the street and going to hit by a car, we go protect them. Amen? That we want to lay our lives down for them. It's easy for us to say that. I think probably for many men in here, I do think you would die for your family. Amen? I have a harder time living for my family. Nourishing my wife and my kids, protecting them, stepping up, knowing that screens aren't always good for them. The things they're getting on the internet are not going to be good for them, and actually fighting the fight to protect their eyes and their hearts, because that's your job. I want them to flourish, and so I'll fight that fight. Men, nourishing your wife and your family means setting an environment where they feel protected and safe and secure. Even if you're not telling them everything they want to hear, because they know you're following the Lord and that they can flourish in that environment. And I'm going to tell you, this is the one I'm weak in, but pray the Lord would help me this year in. If this is true for your wife and your kids, they'll start talking about their dreams, their fears, their concerns. Even more they talk than they talk to their best friends or their moms, if it's your wife. They'll start encouraging you rather than tearing you down. Your wife is going to be hopeful about your future together and look forward to your life together. They'll have a sense that your family is flourishing, that the world is a good and stable place. And I say, come, Jesus, come on earth as it is in heaven in our families. Amen. That, Lord, you help us do it. You show us how to do it in 2026, and we just follow you as the good father. Amen, men. And we stop trying to fight this fight and be perfect, and we'd follow the Lord, and he would help us, and our families would flourish. And I believe it's possible, and I believe it can happen as you surrender your families to Jesus. Amen. I close with this. There's a four-time Pro Bowler linebacker, Chris Spielman, who just set this example. He played football for 26 of his first 30 years of life, and he loved the game. And in 1983, he met someone that he loved more than the game, and her name was Stephanie. She worked at a model, but gave up all of that to be with him and his career and to be a mom. But then in 1997, they had many trials, and in July, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She opted for a mastectomy followed by 6 weeks of chemotherapy. And they had two small children. And Chris started thinking and what the cost would be and the difficulty in his wife. And he gave up football for that whole year. And y'all may think, oh, giving up football 1 year, big sacrifice. Guys, the average lifespan of a NFL linebacker is 3 years. He gave up potentially one-third of his career, the thing that before her he loved the most. He told GQ magazine this. For 10 years, our entire lives have been about me. My career came first, always. Stephanie made every sacrifice in the world to support me unconditionally. What kind of husband would I be if I didn't drop everything for Stephanie when she got sick? Did I want her sister to have to hold her hand while she suffered because I wasn't there? Did I want Stephanie's mother to have to sit with her in the hospital where they were shooting needles into her and filling up her body with those awful chemicals? Or did I want to be there myself? This is my family. This is my responsibility. This is my home. This is my duty. This is who we are supposed to be as men. But I'm here to tell you, you can only do it with Christ. He fought for you on the cross. He is the good Father. He pursues you now. The fact is, if you try to do all these three things that I just said on your own, you're only going to get frustrated. She's going to get frustrated. Your kids are going to get frustrated. That's why New Year's resolutions don't work. Amen? But our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in the risen Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, who has paid the price for our sin, and risen from the dead. And that when we turn our lives over to him and we follow him, he makes all things new. So as we close today, is there an area of your life that you don't get, that you don't understand, that you don't know how to lead, you don't know what you're doing? Turn it over to Jesus. He will help you, I promise, if you truly turn it over to him. And do you not get this life altogether, and you don't know your purpose, and you don't know where you came from or what you're meant for? Turn your life over to Jesus. Accept what he did for you on the cross by putting your faith in him and what he did on the cross, and he will make your path straight. Our God is good. He is alive, and he wants to lead you. Happy Father's Day. May the Lord bless you and keep you and direct you. Father God, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for this room full of men and women that are just trying to follow you. I pray in our response time that you'd help us with how to do that you would make the guilt would be off, our expectations of ourselves would be off, and then for many of us in this room that know you, Lord, that you would just make known by your grace just areas that, hey, I want to help you with this. And Father, this would be a day of change in the power of your resurrection for so many. And I pray for that one or more in this room that they just need a good, good father. Maybe like me, that you don't know that you're loved. You didn't get that from a dad or from other people. You're not getting that now. There is a God in heaven that loved you so much. The Bible says he loves you with abundant, gracious love that you can keep doing and doing and doing, and he keeps loving and loving and loving, and that he paid the ultimate price and died for your sin on the cross. that you can be forgiven no matter what you've done. And he's calling you this morning in a relationship that if you want to know what life's all about, he's like, come to me. I'll show you. I'm your good father. I want to guide you. Just accept me. Put your faith in me. I pray that today would be the day that you do that. This will be ever 2026, the Father's Day, when you met the Father. Ever change your life. Lord, you just have your way in this response time. We thank you. Thank you for being our good Father, and let us do all that we can to follow you in your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.